Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Yo, si helele mama, helele yo. 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 Si la se chaba, di homo li fedile.
Fedile ni bo papa
ba tsware tswe di pasa helele siti mela si batse ba fela tsi tshohane helele asimani ba sitsana ba tshabile so wetho helele masiani ba sat ba sitsi ba li bangwe helele tangli bona matata Afrika. Helele yo, si helele mama, helele yo, si helele mama, helele yo, si helele mama, helele yo.
Right, it's about time of the week, that day of the week, and that time on Saturday. We bring you this Afrocentric magazine show on radio, your number one Afro radio in the whole of Northwestern England. That's talking Radio Africana here in Manchester. And on this program, what we do is to showcase Africa in every, what you name it, entertainment, sports, culture and tourism. We promote as well on this show, and we talk about development from motherland Africa as well. So it's an Afrocentric Afro magazine show with different segments. The news and current affairs segment is the one we kick off with just before I get lost in the groove. My name is Chris Okunua, and after several weeks of being out of the program, I'm finally back once more, and I'm very, very happy to be here. Nothing compares to the joy of coming here to talk about Africa on this day, on this platform. So trust me, I'm happy to make a return today on the show. Big shout out to Emmanuel Etim, Emmy Ed, for holding it down for several weeks. Got so busy, got so occupied, got so invested in so many things. It's life generally, anyway. And also, happy Easter to our Christians, brothers and sisters, wherever you are listening to us. I know definitely we've got audience in motherland Africa. We've got audience, of course, here in the UK, in the America, all African community in diaspora. This program is for you. We try to connect you back to motherland. So definitely we have people listening to us from different part of the world, and just so you know, you can indeed listen to us from any part of the world. All you need to do is just to have access to the internet and visit our website www.radioafricana.com, and you can also download our app on Play Store, iOS. We are there at your fingertip. Okay, so once again, welcome to Africa Weekly, live on Radio Africana, with your man, Chris Okunua. Right, without further ado, we should be getting off proper on the show today, and it's with the news and current affairs segment of the show. You know, there's this saying that almost every now and then in the news, you read something negative about Africa. That's quite an unfortunate thing to say about Africa. Of course, there are a lot of development going on in Africa, but a lot of issues still bedeviling the continent. And this comes with crisis, with casualty every now and then. That's why we wouldn't stop talking about this, so that those in authorities can do that which they need to do for the narrative about Africa to change for good. For good and once and for all. That's what we want. Right. That in mind, we'll be talking about some news right now. This time around, is from the country Burkina Faso. It has little or nothing to do with unrest anyway, nothing really to do with killings. At least that's not what we are reacting to here now. So, Burkina Faso's military leader, Ibrahim Traore, says the people need to forget about democracy just 3 months after his government dissolved all political parties in the West African nation. Speaking to journalists in a net interview on state television this week, that was on Thursday, Traore referenced Libya as an example of a country where he said outsiders attempted to impose democracy but failed. People need to forget about the issue of democracy, he said. We have to tell the truth. Democracy ends it for us. I don't know in that context if he met Burkina Faso or the whole of Africa. He went on to say democracy keys. And this was, you know, why feeding question from French broadcaster RFI. He said again, look at Libya. It's a prime example right next to us. Everywhere they try to establish democracy in the world, it's done with bloodshed. Democracy is slavery. That's coming from Ibrahim Traore, the junta leader of Burkina Faso. It's the latest sign of Traore's government distancing itself from the initial promises it made to set the country back on democratic path. Traore seized power in September 2022, 8 months after an earlier military coup he was involved in overthrew the democratically elected government of President Roch Marc Kabore. The military government promised to battle Al-Qaeda and ISIL-linked armed groups that have swamped the country and now control large areas of territory. However, the country has continued to come under repeated attacks and hundreds of thousands of civilians are displaced. Traore, who has gained widespread admiration from the African diaspora for his anti-Western rhetoric, initially promised to organize elections in 2024. A year later, the leader reneged and said elections would not be held until all parts of Burkina Faso are safe for voting. In January, Traore's government scrapped more than 100 political parties in the country and seized assets. Parliament and all political party and all political activity had previously been suspended after Traore took power. The Independent National Electoral Commission was dissolved also last year. That was in July, after Traore's government claimed the agency was just too expensive. Wow. Analysts have also raised concerns about the government's apparent targeting of other institutions, including the media and judiciary. Journalists, political opposition leaders, and prosecutors, a critical of the military government, have been forcibly conscripted and sent to front lines in recent months, with some later released, though. Similar moves against political parties have been taken by neighboring military governments in Niger and Mali, which are also battling armed group violence. All three countries exited the Regional Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS bloc, to form their own alliance of Sahel states last January after pressure to hold elections. They have also turned to Russian paramilitary fighters after evicting former colonial power France, which had deployed some 5,000 soldiers to help fight armed groups in the Sahel region. Violence has continued to map Burkina Faso. Fatality tripled in the 3 years since Traore took power, reaching 17,775 by last May. That's compared with the 3 years prior, when combined recorded death were 6,630, according to analysis by the US-based African Center for Strategic Studies. Unfortunately, most of these killings were civilians, many government forces and allied militias as well. That's the situation with Burkina Faso. The reason I took time to dwell on this a bit more is in year 2022, when Traore took power or seized power, a lot of people were impressed, kind of. Yes, I don't know, maybe it was just down to his rhetoric against the Western power or Western idea, and there seems to be some promises of stability, return to the part of democracy, or at least the part of stability and economic growth. But 3 years down the line, that has not really been the case, and in some indices shows that the country is a bit worse than it was before Traoré seized power. So that's the situation. We definitely want us to scrutinize and look into the Sahel state. This is not peculiar to Burkina Faso. The Sahel state generally, that's talking Burkina Faso, Niger, Mali, this union that they formed and saying, yeah, we don't want anything to do with our former colonial country, talking France and by extension the Western power. Are they getting it right? We need to ask ourselves a serious question before things degenerate than it is now. That's the big question. Generally, yeah, I'm not saying Africa should remain a puppet of the Western world, but whatever alternative we are rooting for, we need to be sure of what we are getting into or what we are getting from it. That's the situation in Burkina Faso. It's changing the goalpost every now and then. Yes, the promise initially was the country will return to the part of democracy. Then after war, the promises that the president made, he reneged on them, saying that elections will not be held in Burkina Faso until all parts of Burkina Faso are safe to vote. Later, political parties outlawed the scrapping of the Electoral Commission, saying too expensive to run. Come on. Alright, finger crossed, hopefully, maybe, and that's what we hope for, Burkina Faso get it right, even if it's under the current leader, Ibrahim Traoré. Alright, now let's move away from Burkina Faso and let's talk about this that has to do with the impact of the Iran war. Yeah, it's the alliance, the coalition of the alliance of the US and Israel battling it out with Iran. Of course, the Strait of Hormuz has been in the news for several weeks, of course, for not too good reason. This is something that has, you know, grounded economic activity or impacted economic activity in different parts of the world, and Africa is not an exception. So we are taking a look at how Africa has been hit by the crisis ongoing in Middle East. That's the war involving Iran, USA, and Israel. Of course, Iran seems to be the epicenter of the war, but there's a particular spot, a passage, a strait called the Strait of Hormuz, which according to analysts, at least 30-40% of the world crude oil, you know, product passed through that strait. That has led to a lot of crisis, economic crisis. We're talking about the attention seems to be more on the crisis on the ground in Iran, but the economic crisis as a result of this fallout, as a result of this war between Iran, USA, and Israel, is what we need to look into in Nigeria, in Somalia, in different parts of Africa, and how, you know, it's affecting daily life and economic activity. Now, the International Rescue Committee, IRC, warned that rising fuel prices, shipping delays, and supply chain disruption linked to the Iran war and tensions in the Strait of Hormuz have started shocking life-saving services in crisis-affected countries. The unfolding logistic crisis is an escalating humanitarian threat, the aid group said during the week, that was on Monday, building up on the drastic cuts to humanitarian funding last year with life-threatening consequences for millions of vulnerable people, vital to power hospitals, ambulances and supply chains. Fare is becoming scarcer and more expensive, putting humanitarian response at risk. This is how global crisis becomes a humanitarian one, said Bob Kitchen. That's the IRC Vice President for Emergency. Fear shortages and supply delays don't stay contained. They ripple outward, shutting down services, driving up food prices, and cutting off access to care. Across Africa, those ripples are already hitting hard. Very hard. In Nigeria, fuel prices have jumped by nearly 50%, raising the cost of running generators that power clinics and forcing mobile health teams to reduce coverage. That's also coming from the IRC. Yeah. In Sudan, pharmaceutical supplies worth $130,000 intended to support about 20,000 people are stuck in Dubai as disruptions to shipping routes delay deliveries to a country already facing one of the world's worst humanitarian crises. In Somalia, shipment of ready-to-use therapeutic food used to treat severe child malnutrition are stranded in India due to shipping delays, putting more than 100 children at risk of missing life-saving treatment. Rising operational costs up by as much as 30% in some areas are further limiting aid delivery. In Kenya, fuel shortages have led to rationing, affecting operations in refugee camps such as Kakuma Refugee Camp and Dadaab Refugee Complex. Reduced diesel supplies are disrupting power for critical medical equipment, emergency care and ambulance services, as well as water systems, raising the risk of disease outbreak. Similar challenges are emerging in Ethiopia, Uganda and the Democratic Republic of Congo, where fuel shortages and price spikes are restricting feed movement and aid delivery. So, this is it. The impact of the war is being felt greatly in Africa. You know, the poorest country get hit the most when crisis like this ensued or happened. And if you think or look deep, they are not the cause of the war. Africa don't have a say. Africa not a contributor, but then they are the one feeling the hit the most already. The other countries, of course, storage, reserve and all of that are always in place that could last for a bit of time, but in Africa it's never the situation. And to think of fuel, whereby we have countries like Nigeria, Libya and Angola, you name it, a few other African countries who are one of the largest producers of crude oil, they also rely on refined products from outside of the continent to get things going. That's one of the things that we say has been bedeviling Africa for ages. Refine your raw materials. Don't rely on the outside world for self-sustenance. And here we are now, hoping, praying that this crisis in the Middle East, talking the Iran-Israel-US war, will come to an end soon. Alright, in light of that, let's take a look at this one. African finance and planning ministers must pursue continental renewal and self-reliance in response to the rising frequency and severity of global shocks. Former South African Finance Minister Trevor Manwe has said, delivering the Adebayo Adeniji Lecture in Tangier, Morocco this week at the 58th Conference of African Ministers of Finance, Planning and Economic Development, Manwe warned that the surge in oil prices caused by conflict in the Middle East poses a serious threat to African economies. Manwe, who also served as lead advisor and chairperson of the African Expert Panel established in the 2025 to support South Africa's G20 presidency, stated that there is nothing in historical data that could have predicted such volatility. He said that these are the consequences of unilateral decisions, the effect of which remain largely unknown. He cautioned that the resulting energy and agricultural shocks would hit the poorest hardest as they spend a large share of their income on food and transport. The former minister pointed to recent statements by US leaders as evidence of changing global order, arguing that it is no longer grounded in rules but in the misguided notion that might makes right. He emphasized the importance of a rules-based global system and urged African nations to resist becoming mere implementers of the hegemon's views. It's time to grab the bull by the horn. Africans, take the initiative and, of course, be self-reliant. Manuel encouraged African leaders to negotiate fairer terms with global investors to break the cycle of exporting raw materials. Local value chain, he argued, is key to ensuring that Africa's wealth is more equitably shared. He stated, Africa has to count for much more than merely being a piece of land in which foreigners can come and dig holes, remove the wealth, and take it from pit to port. That's what we've been saying. And that's why right now the continent is grappling with some sort of hardship due to the crisis in the Middle East. Africa has got crude oil and other mineral resources and beautiful rare resources of the earth, but these resources are not being mined and not being refined in Africa. That's what this former minister in South Africa says. It's time for Africa to wake up and network within themselves, develop things internally, so when crisis happen in the outside world, Africa won't be the first continent that will be hit hard. You know, that's a very strong word, a strong one, a good rallying call there from this former South Africa finance minister talking about Manuel Trevor. All right, let's move away from that quickly as we are gradually moving towards the midpoint of this show. Let's talk about this one. It's between Nigeria and South Africa and some sort of news that I hate to talk about, but then we must talk about this. Nigeria's High Commission in South Africa has urged its citizens there to be cautious following an anti-illegal immigration protest in Eastern Cape province that turned violent. On Monday, activists were holding a peaceful march in the port city of Kugompo, formerly East London, but disorder erupted after a protester said he was attacked by a foreigner, prompting demonstrators to damage several vehicles and shops. The trouble came amid tension over the recent installation of a Nigerian community leader in the city, who has a traditional title that can be translated as King of the Igbo people in East London. That's the city called Kugompo in South Africa. Some South Africans in the local area saw this as an attempt to grab political power. Traditional leader Shanti Singikau, who was present at Monday's march, told broadcaster Newsroom Africa the installation ceremony had left local chiefs feeling undermined as the area was the territory of the Xhosa. South Africa is home to about 2.4 million migrants, just less than 4% of the population, according to official figures. However, many more are thought to be in the country unofficially. Most come from neighboring countries such as Lesotho, Zimbabwe, and Mozambique, which have a history of providing migrant labor to their wedding neighbor. That's talking South Africa. Ismona Lumba came from Nigeria as well. Xenophobia has long been an issue in South Africa, which has been accompanied by occasional outbursts of deadly violence, and anti-migrant sentiment has become a key political talking point. The South African authorities, including Kugompo Mayor Princess Faku, condemned Monday's trouble, which saw 10 vehicles set alight and local and foreign-owned shops looted in the process. Well, I'll say that the Nigerian High Commission in South Africa has done well to urge each citizen to be cautious amidst these protests that are turning violent in a way, and that's particularly within the same period a chief was installed in South Africa. That's for the Igbo people residing in South Africa, but the host country, the host people, are seeing this as an affront and an attempt to grab political power. I don't see that happening anyway. But then, hopefully, the two countries manage this well so it won't degenerate into something we don't want. We want Africans to unite wherever they are, wherever they reside, see one another as brother. I mean, live together as brother and foster development. That's what we want. I mean, if Nigerians, South Africans, Zimbabweans can even live outside in the outside of the continent, like we are in the UK, peacefully, our hosts are very respectful to us, of very freedom and everything we enjoy in diaspora that's outside of Africa. Why is it an issue for us to accommodate one another in the same continent? What's the problem? Come on, Africa. Right, let's see what next before we take a short break. Let's talk about this one from Zimbabwe. Yeah, quickly, staying in Southern Africa now. Zimbabwe's constitutional reform push is sparking intense debate. Critics warn it could extend President Mnangagwa's term and significantly impact how leaders are chosen. But supporters say it will stabilize the country as public hearings continue. Zimbabwe's constitution adopted in 2013 after a long political transition set limits on presidential tenure to prevent the concentration of power that defined much of the country's post-independent history. The new Amendment B, now being debated, is widely seen as one of the most consequential constitutional tests since the Charter was introduced. At the center of the controversy is a proposal that will allow President Mnangagwa to remain in office beyond the current two-term limit, a move critics say would rewrite the rules to serve the incumbent. President Emmerson Mnangagwa came to power in 2017 after long-term leader Robert Mugabe was removed in a military-backed transition. So here it is now. There is this new amendment bill being debated in Zimbabwe that want to see a single term extend from 5 to 7 years. So that means if you are elected for a one term in office, instead of the current 5 years, it's going to be 7 years. Then if you get re-elected, so that means potentially you could be spending 14 years in power. So incumbent still in line to benefit from this amendment if it's carried through. Instead of the incumbent to vacate power, instead of him to be preparing to vacate power in 2018, if this amendment see the light of the day, then the president will be in office until 2030. So that's what critics are saying. This is just to serve the interest of the incumbent. Well, it's a bit, I don't know. It's close. I think the Zimbabweans, we have a sizable Zimbabwe community in the UK anyway, and I believe some of them will be listening now. I don't know what you guys think of this. Is this a welcome development? But opinion seems divided on this. Then why try extend the tenure from 5 to 7 years? Is it okay to keep it at 5 years? Is it okay to move it to 7 years? And even if you're going to make any amendment, should the incumbent benefit from it? So, all right, that's going to be, we'll draw the lead on the current affairs segment of the show for today. And we're going to take a pause now. And when we come back, it will be time for us to talk culture and tourism on this show. Then afterward, it will be time to talk entertainment and sport. I talked about South Africa earlier before I talk about Zimbabwe, about Nigeria High Commission in South Africa advising Nigerians in South Africa to be very, very cautious due to different protests that are turning violent, particularly in the wake of the installation of a chief meant for the Igbo people in South Africa. So we're going to South Africa to enjoy a beautiful composition from late reggae legend Lucky Dube. He called this one Victims. We'll be back after this timeout.
Didn't know
Alright, welcome back to Africa Weekly, live on Radio Africana. And in case you're just joining us, this show is an Afrocentric magazine show that we bring on every Saturday, 4 p.m. With different segments, news and current affairs, culture and tourism that we will be going into right now, then entertainment and sport. My name is Chris Okunua. Just so you're joining us for the first time, I bring you nothing but Africa story, the true African story. Okay, now it's time for us to talk about culture and tourism. And this time around, we have a particular tribe, a particular culture to showcase on the show, like we normally do on this time on this show every Saturday. And today we'll be looking at the Ewe people of Ghana in West Africa. So there are 5 million Ewe people. Approximately 2.7 million of those are in Ghana, 2.1 million in Togo, and around 200,000 in Benin Republic. The Ewe people are also a minority ethnic group in Nigeria and the Ivory Coast. They speak the Ewe language. Some archaeological evidence suggests that they can be traced back to the 13th century to Oyo in Nigeria. Other oral archaeological traditions suggest that a series of migrations started in the 11th century and that the present Ewe settled in Ghana in the early 17th century. It also said that the Ewe people might have spent time in Egypt, South Sudan, and Ethiopia. When the British, of course, the British and their European counterpart, Belgian, French, German, and Portuguese colonies were created, and borders created in the 19th century, the Ewe people were divided. The Ewe speaking people of West Africa inhabit the areas between the River Volta in modern Ghana and the River Mono on the western borders of the ancient kingdom of Benin Republic, ancient kingdom of Benin. This has meant that Ewe people, like many other ethnic groups in Africa, have developed different dialects amongst themselves and are ruled by different governments. One of their most famous and exciting stories is their escape from Nutse and the tyranny of King Agukoli. After the Ewe people were divided, this story was even used by Ewe tribe to argue that the Ewe are one people with one common language. The division has led to some religious and cultural differences, but the Ewe people are strongly united by their language and are especially known for their vibrant and unique traditions and cultures. Now let's talk about the culture and festival of the Ewe people. The Ghanaian Ewe people also know how to party. It is said that even under their tyrannic king, their tyrant king, Agupoli, they were still recognized for their music and dance. There are many festivals throughout the year, and one of the largest is called Hugbisesu. I hope I pronounced that right, my Ghanaian or Ewe people listening to me now. The Hugbisesu festival, is held in the Volta area on the first Saturday in November. It is known as the Festival of the Exodus, which celebrates the escape from King Agukoli. The chiefs dress in their finest clothes, and there is plenty of dancing, drumming, and drinks in celebration of their freedom. So over the years, the festival has drawn bigger and bigger crowds and has become a light-hearted celebration and account of the Ewe legend. During the reenactment of the escape from Nutse, King Agukoli is portrayed as a bumbling and drunken fool rather than evil tyrant. Well, let's talk about quickly that the modern day community of the Ewe people. Many of the modern day Ewe people are farmers, blacksmiths, fishermen, spinners, weavers, and traders. The women usually work as merchants who buy and sell these materials. The Ewe people have a great sense of family, and the families remain very close throughout their lives. The founder of each Ewe community is the chief, and he is succeeded by his sons or his male relative when he dies. The type of community is called a patrilinear community. All members of the family are honored, and these include the extended family as well, such as cousins and grandparents. One of the reasons the family is so close is because the Ewe people believe in the supernatural powers of their ancestors, which create a bond between different generations of each family. right? So just because we are pressed for time, still have two more segments to cover. We want to quickly see places of attraction, not just in Ewe, generally in Ghana, of course, which is like the heartland of the Ewe people, where we have most majority of the Ewe people. I mean, there are places you can visit, not just in the Ewe land, but also in Ghana generally, right? So, yeah, still talking about the Ewe people. Now we are talking about the larger Ghana as a country, you know, place that you can visit to enjoy the beauty that nature has blessed Ewe and Ghana generally with. You can visit the Cape Coast Castle. That's a UNESCO World Heritage Site. This 17th century castle was central to the transatlantic slave trade. Visitors can explore dungeons, museums, and the Door of No Return while enjoying ocean views. Of course, much ado about the Door of No Return. And also the Amina Castle, built in 1482, it is the oldest European structure in sub-Saharan Africa, offering guided tours through slave dungeons and colonial quarters. The Kwame Nkrumah Memorial Park also is another site that you can visit in Ghana to honor Ghana's first president. Okay, and not forgetting the Anasglasco Campus, a spiritual and educational center in the Akumpim Mountain, featuring gardens, a vast museum, and serene landscape. What about the Makola Market? Accra's bustling market offers textile craft and local food, providing a vibrant cultural experience. That Makola is definitely linked with Nigeria, and particularly the Yoruba, if you ask me. And then we have the Ashanti Cultural Center. This is another tribe, you know, or ethnic group in Ghana, the Ashanti. This one, talking about the Ashanti Cultural Center in Kumasi. This showcases Ashanti heritage, craft, and traditional artifacts, including the Kente weaving demonstrations. National wonders and national parks. We have the Kakum National Park, the Mo National Park, the Liu Waterfalls, Boti Falls, Aburi Botanical Gardens, and Shahi Resource Reserve, and the beaches. Of course, Ghana has got so many beautiful natural artificial beaches: the Labadi Beach, the Bojo Beach, the Adafua Beach, Asin Beach Resort. Okay, yeah, a lot of places to visit and enjoy in Ghana. So, you know, I talk about the biggest festival for the Ewe people coming up in the first Saturday of November. Why not just plan a trip for that to witness that festival in Ewe land, and also use the opportunity to tour Ghana and see these beautiful sites that I've just mentioned on this show. So, like I said, the essence here is just to promote African culture and the tourism industry in Africa as well, because that's where beauty untapped, beauty untouched, you know, is. Right, we're going to take another pause, and when we come back, it will be time for us to quickly talk entertainment. Then we end the show today with a sports segment. We're going to enjoy something from Ewe. This song is an Ewe High Life. I need you to enjoy this, and when I come back, it will be time for us to talk entertainment and sport. Thank you.
Make up a JJV yellow.
Toboli.
Nega play a JG.
Toboli.
Nega new one NG.
Toboli.
Mega favile zamena mo. Mega favile zamena mo. Nadena hokwela si unamlo.
Devi yellow. Toboli.
Mega favile zamena mo. Mega favile zamena mo.
Devi yellow. Toboli.
Right, we remember those song to some folks that grew up in Nigeria and some other part of West Africa when this song was a rave, Ahumwanku, a beautiful love rendition in Ghana. Right, now quickly, we're going to move on right now without further ado, and it's time for us to talk about entertainment. We've just enjoyed a beautiful two songs from Ghana, and that lead us to this entertainment gist on this show. Now, the 27th edition of the Teleche Ghana Music Award is set to celebrate some of the biggest songs across Africa, and this year's African Song of the Year category is packed with popular hits. Nigeria artists are strongly represented, showing how much the country continues to influence music across the continent. At the last edition, the award went to Swallowbam by T-Tom, Yupi and Bonobo, a song that became a massive anthem and fan favorite. This year, Davido leads the entry with two nominations. His 2025 song, With You, featuring Omali from his 5 albums, stand out for its global success and even a Grammy nomination in the 2026 Grammy, which shows how big the song was. He also features on La Cupenda, a lively amapiano track by South African duo TXC, alongside Shode, Scott Mafuma, Zlatan, and AL Sapo. The song blends Nigerian and South African sound, making it a stronger contender as well. Other Nigerian songs in the category include Rema's Kelebu, Fido's Joy Is Coming, and Lahore Remix by Charlie Poppy and Burna Boy. Also making the list is two-time Grammy winner Tyler from South Africa with her 2025 hit single Charney. With such strong lineup of songs, each bringing its own unique sound and appeal, the competition is tight. That's talking about the Ghana Music Award. Right, we're going out to talk sport now. And this one is from East Africa. Amid crisis, amid unrest. That's talking about DRC, the Democratic Republic of Congo, are returning to the World Cup. For the first time in more than 50 years, the Congolese fans took to the street in early hours of Wednesday, that's talking about the first of this month, to sing, chant and dance after their national teams, talking about the leopard of Congo, talking DRC, qualified with a victory against Jamaica in the playoff to the 2026 World Cup in Mexico, US and Canada. The Democratic Republic of Congo beat Jamaica by a long goal in Guadalajara to secure their place in the 2026 World Cup, their first qualification in 52 years. So that makes it 10 African countries, participating at this year's Mundial. Sadly, some footballing powerhouses in Africa are still going to miss out on this. That's talking Nigeria and Cameroon. It's a sad one, but then we hope definitely the likes of DRC will light up the stage, with particularly their fans, not just the performance of the leopard on the field at this year's AFCON in Morocco, will be able to give Africa good representation alongside some other country, such as Senegal. Should I still call Senegal the reigning African champions? Because officially the Confederation of African Football has stripped them of that title, handing it back to Morocco. That's a judgment from the appeal committee of CAF. Though Senegal has appealed that, we understand they've tabled an appeal. They've headed to CAS in a nutshell, so we wait to see how that one will play out. So a host of other countries are going to represent Africa at the tournament, and we hope they do well and not just go make up the number. All right. Congratulations to DRC. At the time, there's this chance that they could lose it and in the boardroom because Nigeria fight against the DRC for allegedly feeding ineligible player. The case, is it dead yet? Because we understand also that Nigeria seems to be heading to CAS. Regardless, we just want the best interest of Africa. DRC or Nigeria, Africa represented at the Mundial, and what a performance to be proud of. In terms of the fans adding color to a tournament, I give it to the Congolese fans at the concluded AFCON in Morocco. Hopefully, we'll enjoy that. We'll see more of that with that man, the Patrice Lumumba solidarity, posture. Enjoy for 90 minutes or more of football action. Definitely most of us want to see that at the World Cup as well. Right, let's go to talk about leagues in Africa. If we have time, let's talk about the Nigerian Premier Football League matches slated for this weekend. At the minute, in Bauchi, we understand Wiki Torres to Bauchi are defeating Enyimba by a long goal and just about a half time. And then later tomorrow, we'll see Kano Pillars play host to Benda Insurance. Casino United host Niger Tornadoes at the Muhammad Diko Stadium. In Ilorin, it's going to be Ekenemi Warrior. Kwara United versus Ekenemi. We understand Kwara United are not playing at home anymore. They've been banished due to crowd unrest at their home ground in Ilorin. And then Nasarawa United will take on Cool Khalifa. Rangers International versus Barao. Remo Stars versus Shooting Stars. That's a Southwest derby with Remo Stars, the reigning champions, battling relegation. So definitely it's going to be a tough one there. Warriors versus Rivers United. Abia Warriors taken by Yeso United. And Plateau United will do battle with Ikorodu City. So these are the fixtures in the Nigerian Premier Football League for this round. And in Egypt, we understand the relegation group game is on. Faku FC are leading Gazi Al-Mehala by a long goal. Then later today is going to be Air Guna versus Al-Ittihad Alessandra. The Motorsport FC take on Wadi Dega FC. And in South Africa, yesterday, Mamelodi Sundowns defeated Chippa United 4-1. And the other matches will come up on Monday with Orbit College taking on Kaizer Chiefs, AmaZulu FC versus Sekukuna United, and Chippa United host Siwelele FC. That's on Tuesday. Here in England, matches were played today in the FA Cup. And I tell you what, Liverpool were blown apart by Manchester City. 4-0 it ended in favour of the Citizens in the FA Cup quarterfinals. And later today is going to be Chelsea versus Port Vale. Later tonight as well, Southampton will take on Arsenal. We do not have enough time to talk about sport on this show. Otherwise, we would have taken you through fixtures of matches in the Italian League, La Liga, particularly matches involving African players. Well, that's going to be the size of the show, Talking Africa Weekly on Radio Africana. The show returns next week Saturday. Remember, the time is 4 p.m. That's also Nigerian time, West African time, I mean, because we are back to summertime in the UK now, right? It's a pleasure being here. Thank you so much, Oluwale, my producer, a wonderful his name, he's fondly called. Thank you so much for ensuring a smooth production of this show. And big shout out to my man, Emmanuel Etim, also, who I believe will be listening at the moment. Thank you for holding it down while I was away. I hope to see you come around so we get to do this together next week. Until I catch you next week, my name remains Chris Okunua. I'll catch you and do enjoy your holidays. Bye for now.
Until we dominate, dream big, still in the show. We go from fast to slow. We know that this is our fit. Watch out, the game elevate. We gonna let the world know how we keep the ball in control. I never fall.
This is a love.